take it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun. Everyone is in a flap and almost anything can happen.
Yes, with Joy Nichols, Sixpence, and Professor Jimmy Edwards together again, almost anything can happen and presumably will. Moreover, we've found Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and Keynotes among those present, and Frank Cantell has brought the augmented review orchestra along, so if you've got half an hour that's more or less clear,
take it from me.
Joy, Joy, come here. I've had a sensational idea for improving the show. It's a wonderful idea. I got it out of my own head. It's really solid.
It certainly is, Jimmy.
Now, listen, Joy. What we need is a guest artist, some famous film star who can come into the program and do something quite unexpected, like mentioning the name of his latest film.
Oh, wait, Jimmy. You know, it's not so easy. That idea may work on other programs, but this show has a serious handicap.
I know. Where is Bentley?
Well, I last saw him going out to persuade Margaret O'Brien to make a guest appearance.
Does he know her well?
Oh, yes. They go to the same tailor. Oh, Jimmy, do you really think Dick will persuade her to appear?
Do I think so? Look who's just come into the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Margaret O'Brien.
I am not Margaret O'Brien. How could I possibly look like Margaret O'Brien?
Well, you could pad your shoulders and put on a bit of weight.
Yeah, and if I plait my hair... Jimmy, please, I've come to tell you that little Margaret won't be able to be here. But don't worry, I thought of a guest artist. And what a guest artist. The biggest thing in show business today. Young, tall, massive, unruly hair, comedian, singer, personality.
Oh, Dickie, you don't mean...
Certainly, and for my first number, I...
Bentley, Bentley, you can't be a guest artist.
That's right, Dick, you're here every week. There's nothing strange about you.
You want to see him from this angle, Joy. No, Bentley, we've got to have somebody famous.
Well, I'm famous. I'm very famous. Just so happens nobody's ever heard of me.
But, Dick, the chief point about a guest artist is that they must come from abroad. Margaret O'Brien came all the way from America.
Well, that's nothing. I came all the way from Australia.
Yes, but she can go back.
Can't quite understand that applause. Well, look, if you don't use me, I shall go as guest in some other show in town tonight.
Oh, Dick, what can you do on In Town Tonight?
Well, that old lady with the violets can't last forever, you know. Somebody must be able to do something for me.
Is there a vet in the house? No, let's scrub round the guest artist idea. After all, we have enough talent between us.
Jimmy, at last I've caught you out on grammar.
What do you mean, Dick?
What he just said was grammatically wrong. He should have said we have enough talent among us. Everybody knows that the word between can only be used about two people.
And who says I was referring to more than two people? I'll tell my runner, Wallace Eaton, that we won't be needing the bouquet. Oh, Wall, do you think you can take back those flowers?
Oh, yes, Jim, the bloke ain't even missed them yet. I got them from the place where you get all your flowers, Harry Shelburne.
Oh, is he the local florist?
Local undertaker. He mentioned he was looking forward to seeing you soon, Jim. Oh, they're very proud of Jim back in the building.
They still remember Jim there?
Oh, yes. To mark his memory, they even put up a plaque. It's fell off now, but in the empty space, somebody wrote, Plaque Mark Edwards.
I think that's apocryphal.
No, probably a drunk. You know, you make yourself too much of a stranger, Jim. You know, your old man's got a steady job now. He's on the drains. He'd be only too pleased if you drop in. Here. You know who else was inquiring about you, Jim? Guess.
Before you tell me who it is, there's one thing I'd like to say.
What's that?
What a ghastly name.
Oh, no, Jim. That's the last thing you could say about Gertie Snitch. What was like a sister to you? I can see her now, wiping your grubby, tear-stained face and making you blow your nose.
Oh, how sweet. How long ago was that, Wallace?
Last Tuesday.
Thank you. nothing new. Makes no difference if you tour 102. You'll get a trip when you order a seat on the old choo-choo. Down by the station early in the morning, see the little Parker Billies all in a row. See the station master turn the little handle. Chat, chat, up, up, up we go. Early in the morning, got a ticket ready for the 6:42. Everywhere is running, waiting for the warning. Chug, chug, up, up.
That's our cue.
This is for the kiddies who love to ride the train. Carry you off to dreamland and then bring you back again.
Makes no difference if you tour 102.
Riding the horse and the buggy is not like the old choo-choo.
Down by the station early in the morning, lots of little kiddies going for a ride. Chewing on the candy, everything is dandy.
All inside.
Down by the station early in the morning, grab a cup of coffee while I wait for the train. Change another quarter, gotta pay the toll.
Chug, boop, boop, look back, rain. Down by the station in the morning, see the little Parker Billies all in a row. See the station master turn the little handle. Chug, chug, boop, boop, off we go.
Thank you, Keynotes. Next week, I'm going to sing a song written by Picasso and Henry Moore entitled Munnings is the Root of All Evil.
Oh, that's good. I like your voice, Dick.
Well, I don't. I heard him sing once. His voice was so shrill and quavery, he sounded like an 80-year-old man buying a ticket for the windmill.
Oh, that's not so. I had a complimentary ticket. Dick, besides... Yes, it's too late. Now, I have a very distinctive voice. I have. My singing teacher told me I had the low notes of a thrush and the top notes of a nightingale, and I proved it at my first concert.
What happened?
I laid an egg. Oh, I'll say anything for a laugh.
Someday you may get one. But, Joy, let's explore this subject of music.
By all means, James. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for facts on popular music.
Popular music has been brought to the millions by means of gramophone records. Every day there is a queue at the record counter of the music shop.
Mum says she'd like a piece of music awe-inspiring in its majesty and underlining the essential nobility of man, if possible, sung by Donald Pierce.
Oh, I see. Well, what do you think of In a Shady Nook?
Same as everybody else thinks of, I suppose. But it's nice of you to ask. Look, Mum, give me a list of what to get. It says a bunch of radishes, scrub and soap, and Beethoven's Egmont. Egmont? I expect that for making a batter.
No, miss, that is an overture. Perhaps you'd like something in the light classics. You're familiar with Gilbert and Sullivan?
Oh, no, I've never met Sullivan. Of course, Gilbert I know too well for my own good. I'm happy to say he's very musical. Whenever there's a BBC symphony concert on, he always switches the lights down and we settle in front of the wireless.
Now you must be fond of music, too.
Oh, I am. Next time I'm going to make him switch the wireless on.
Classical music also has its followers. When opera was presented at Haringey, thousands sat in enraptured silence listening to the famous aria,
Oh, maybe. When they told me they had the ring here tonight, I thought it was boxing. Still, I do admire opera. I notice that next week they're presenting Ada. If we don't get the Danny Kaye ticket, we'll come. Do have a bit of sticky nougat. Here, take one end and pull. Oh, all over that lady's fur. Oh, look, that soprano has come back. She's a staff party with the wings in her hat. She's in all Wagner's operas. I shouldn't be surprised if there's something between them. Oh, maybe this romantic music gets me all hot and bothered. Run your finger through my hair again. Oh, maybe you might have got rid of the nougat first.
The most startling innovation in the popular song field came recently when one of the major political parties announced that it had written a special popular song to encourage votes in the 1950 election.
Naturally, the other political parties will follow suit. Type expects the day is not far distant when political dance music programs will be a feature of electioneering. All the parties will be at the mic with their own tunes. Your political hit parade.
This week's hit parade starts with a smash novelty number from the Labour Party. Listen to the troubadour of Transport House.
Here we've been since 1945. Bev and Shin both got in 45. What a wonderful spell. We've been doing so well. And an iron, Clem and Herb, wear a sign of please don't disturb.
From the Liberal Party comes an all-time favorite. You can whistle in the middle of the road.
I'm not the sort who votes for Tories. Don't give a thought to Labour's glories while state nationalized fights with free enterprise. I'm just an in-between.
Time now for the Conservative Party tip tune sung with some help from the Young Tories, our very vocal group.
Oh, please see the light. Then swing to the right and join me in my blue heaven.
Conservative blue, rally, rally, Churchill's our man. If you return, Winnie, Winnie,
we'll do what we can.
And finally, a number from the Communists. Onto the stage comes the headman to sing.
I'm putting all my eggs in one basket.
B-E-F-G-H, I love you. M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T, you love me.
When Johnny Jones was serenading Mary at quoting poetry, he was no fool. But he'd much rather preach her what he learned from the teacher when they both attended kindergarten school.
Hey, you're adorable.
B,
you're beautiful.
B,
you're a beauty full of charm.
B,
you're a darling.
B,
you're exciting.
F,
you're a feather in my arm.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You look good to me.
H,
you're so heavenly.
I,
you're the one I idolize.
J,
we're like Jack and Jill.
K,
you're so kissable.
L,
is the love light in your eyes.
G, H, I, J, K, L.
M, O, T, C. I could go on all day. Q-R-S-T, alphabetically speaking, you're okay.
You
make my life complete.
B,
I meet you very sweet. W-X-Y-Z. It's from the one to two, the alphabet to you, to tell you what you mean to.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I love you.
M-A-L-P-Q-R-S-T,
you love me.
Oh, it's time to wonder through the alphabet with you to tell you what you mean to me.
Thank you, Miss Nichols, and greetings, gentle folk. By the way, the rumor has been going around that I do not write these program notes myself, that they are written by some anonymous hack like Bernard Shaw. Is this true, you ask? The answer is no, categorically no. That's a difficult word, so I'll spell it. N-O-E. Actually, I do have the benefit of a literary background. In fact, my father wrote a book. It was called Some Loopholes in the Income Tax Laws or Seeing Life Through a Cell Window. You'll be glad to know that it's due out next month. Father isn't. When I was 17, I did some writing on the side. It was on the side of a house, actually. And the vicar made me rub it off. My first book was written in answer to Howard Spring's My Son, My Son. It was called Yes, Dad? It's the story of my life up to the time when I teamed up with Bentley. Though some people say I should have given it a happy ending. So we come to our film, which deals with horse racing. So the overture will be played by our dumb friends, Frank Cantell and his punters. Mr. Cantell is looking rather solemn because he left his dentures on the drum and he can't get used to having a band around his teeth. So, overture, gentlemen, please.
Tice brings you a thundering tale of the turf. To anyone who likes following the horses, Tice presents a scoop. The yarn of a humble little girl, a humble little girl who trained the Grand National winner. Listen to Clive Graham making this film his nap for the 3:30. The feminine lead is played by lovely Joy Nichols, known to all racegoers under her professional name of Charlie Smirk. She plays the eager child who had faith in her unknown horse.
I've always loved horses. My father was a mare. Groom, would you bring the chestnut roan over here? Oh, that's it. Ah, there's a good old fellow. All right, then. Here's a piece of sugar. Nuzzle my shoulder. That's right. Now will you go and get the horse?
The Wonder Horse is by Tudor out of Hyperion. In the lead is Richard Bentley, by now out of condition. The star who is known as Britain's reply to Clara Bow. Today, Master Bentley portrays the young jockey who rides home a winner.
When I'm in the saddle, I look just like part of the horse. Please don't ask me which part. I started in a circus with a horse act, and I can still remember some of the tricks. Want to see me walk on my horse?
In the villain's part, we have Professor Jimmy Edwards, whose latest effort will be seen locally as soon as the bad Lord Byron gives way to that wonderful urge. He plays Honest Jim, the scoundrelly bookmaker.
5-2 on Go Down. No, sir, I won't lay evens on Go Down. I hate to see the evens on Go Down. As I said to the Argathon, Aggie, I says, if my plans work out, I'll soon be owning my own string.
What did he advise you to do?
Hang myself with it.
So to our film, which West End audiences saw under the worst possible conditions. They were facing the screen. In the great tradition of National Velvet, we present Utility Crepe, or All That Glitters Is Nat Gould. In the stables, young Dickie, the stable lad, is grooming the old nag, Maxwell.
All right, boy, just walk nice and easy. Must get the vet. You got a nasty bump on your left coconut shell. Now, look here. Remember, Maxwell, this is your first appearance in public. Not scared, are you? Right, let's start.
Cow, tell me!
Dickie, wait. I got an answer from the Grand National Steward. They're going to let Blue Boy race. Where is he?
I did what you said, Miss Velvet. They buried him yesterday.
Oh, Dickie, I said have him shoved. What are we to do now? I wanted Blue Boy to win the National so I could start a stud farm.
This soil's no good for growing studs. Well, I tell you, I'm disappointed, too. If I'd won that race, I'd have enough money to get married.
Oh, if only we could find a suitable horse.
Begging your pardon, miss, I'd rather marry a girl.
No. A horse to win the Grand National. All we have left is Maxwell. Let's have a look at him. His withers are a bit googie. But I think I can make a jumper out of him.
And it should look very nice on you. Oh, go on, miss. Go on, miss. Let's enter Maxwell to the Grand National.
All right, we'll do it. We'll start our training at Kempton Park.
Why there?
Because the Kempton racetrack's 5 miles long.
Well, do go.
Next morning, I was up on Hips and Downs, looking for a good horse to nobble. When I noticed a strange horse, taking a butcher through my binoculars, I said to my tic-tac man, "Look, a miniature horse ridden by a midget."
No, Jim. You're looking through the wrong end of your binoculars.
The horse came to a stop in front of us. Removing one leg from the stirrup, the jockey vaulted lightly forth. He'd forgotten to remove the other leg. Pausing only to put on the horse's nose bag, the jockey rushed over to a young lady and spoke.
Oh, Dickie, take that nose bag off. You've had one breakfast.
That's better. My mouth was full of corn.
That's no novelty.
Here. Miss Velvet, we're making better time every morning. Maxwell and I have just done 23 furlongs in half a minute.
Oh, that's wonderful. How did you do it?
A lorry gave us a lift.
Hearing this, I pricked up my ears. This forced me bowler hat on my head. On the pretext of picking it up, I crawled near them.
And Dickie, you want to be careful of this ground. It's uneven. There's a nasty big mound here that could do us some flattening.
Madam, that is high. Permit me to introduce myself. Honest Jim, turf accountant. My motto, Jimmy never owes. Very seldom pays, neither. That's a very interesting horse you have here, Miss Velvet. A bit long in the tooth, but I...
Oh, that's Dickie. He's my jockey. My favorite dream is to win the Grand National.
I see. And what's your favorite dream, my lad?
Well, I...
Black Mark Bentley!
Well, I'm going now. I'll take Maxwell and tighten up his farthingale.
And you'd better do something about that girth.
You should talk.
Now, me boy, I understand you're short with a ready lolly. Now, listen carefully. I need a jockey.
Oh, you'd never be able to carry me. Look, I...
No, turn it up. I'm looking for somebody completely unscrupulous, utterly without moral principles, and as low as they come.
What do you want me to do?
Now, you've got to throw this race. My money has been bet on Cassandra. It's done very well, it's shown very good form, and I was quite confident of the horse till this morning. Then I see the jockey get inside it. So you must ride to lose.
To lose, eh? That's in Cornwall somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, down be Higgeran. Your Higgeran comes from living with horses.
Your accent comes from Leon Cotters.
Now, what you got to do, Ahav, is to nobble Maxwell. Bring me back some tangible evidence of your nobbling, like one of his legs. How much do you want for this here job?
£400.
£400, Nicker? I don't carry that kind of money about in my pocket. I have it here in my shoe. It's a deal, then?
Not till I see the colour of your money.
Here it is.
Oh, yes, that lovely green shade. I'll do it.
It was the greatest Grand National day ever. Even Raz Prince Monolulu was mechanized.
I've got a bicycle! I've got a bicycle!
In the members' enclosure, the Queen of Society chatted amiably.
Pardon me, sir. Didn't I meet you at a hunt breakfast with the Quorn?
Oh, no, that was my brother, Harry.
All around me, thousands of people were jostling and chattering.
Excuse me, the winner is the first horse past that pearl there, isn't it?
That's right, Mr. Glendenning.
I could see Dickie over in the weighing room having his particulars taken down.
Jockeys line up here now. You give me your age and weight.
23.97.
Weight, 23 pounds, age, 97.
Oh, good luck, Dickie. I love your riding colors, particularly that blouse. No white streak with blue.
That's my chest.
Oh.
I have no riding colour, so I borrowed my grandmother's blouse. She's a stable boy here.
There you are, young Bentley. I don't forget what I told you. I must say, you look very smart. I particularly like those baggy trousers. You've got a lot to thank your grandmother for. Now then, me lad, talk to the starting line and do as I told you.
Oh, there he goes. He's lining up at the starting gate now. He's getting bumped a bit.
Bentley, you've forgotten your horse. Ah, he's mounted now. Other way around, clot. Facing the head.
They're off. They come to the first fence. Vicky's taken it.
Put that fence back, Bentley.
Oh, I can't bear to look. Tell me what's happening.
They're going round the bend. They're all bunched together. Oh, look, Bentley's ended up on somebody else's horse. Get back, Bentley. They're coming up to Beecher's Brook. Bentley's inflating a pair of water wings. Defeatist! Now they're on the straight. Bentley's horse is on the rails. Bentley, get that horse down on the track. They're coming up the post. It's a duel between Cassandra, Maxwell, and a fence horse, what's called Earn Cheval. Stone the crows. Bentley's won by a nose. His own nose. It's fantastic.
What's so fantastic?
His horse come in third. Here he comes now.
A one. Gordon Richards is livid.
Oh, I'm so proud. The Grand National won by a complete outsider.
And that's a good description of Bentley. But what about me? I've lost thousands. I'm a pauper.
Congratulations, boy or girl. Here, don't worry. No money, honest Jim. I bet £400 on myself, and moreover, I've sold Maxwell to somebody who will make good use of him. So we're all rich.
Oh, you mean you've sold him to Lord Darling for a stable?
No, I've sold him to James Mason for his cats.
Frank and Bell in the augmented review want to bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wally Deaton, Alan Dean, and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script with a will. Name is Charles Maxwell as their executor. Hi, Dick and Jimmy, and the catch you tune in next week at...
This program originated in the London studios of the BBC.